Welcome, colleagues. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's Steve. Welcome back to the office. Welcome for part two of our Excel Tables course. This is Excel Tables and Data Models, Efficiently Managing, Analyzing, and Reporting Your Data, part two. In this class, we are looking at the different ways of being able to analyze and organize your information. And tables are one of those ways that are just truly fantastic in terms of how they work and how they function. It's more than just, for example, having rows and columns inside of your Excel workbook. It is a defined thing for what you can do. And mastering this tool, this feature, this functionality will save you a tremendous amount of time as you work and utilize Excel in your day-to-day operations. Whether you are putting together a financial statement and you need a way of managing your general ledger, or you're just, for example, putting together a list of ingredients that would be useful for a shopping list for Thanksgiving, a table can save you a tremendous amount of time. Now, in part two of this course, we are going to be looking at sorting and filtering. This is often a very overlooked subject inside of Excel. It's deemed as being too basic or too elementary. And so a lot of folks just kind of breeze past sorting and filtering, when in reality, this is something that we do all the time. Inside of Excel, I would say one of my most basic operations is putting data into a specific order or finding the data that I'm looking for. And effectively knowing how to sort and filter your data will save you a tremendous amount of time because it's something you do constantly. Now, we are going to be looking at just about every possible way that you can sort and filter your data. We're going to, for example, be able to do all the basic operations, so finding our data through search, as well as using some of the standard search and filter operations for this. And we're also going to be looking at some of the more advanced techniques with sorting and filtering your data. For example, the advanced filter functionality, which is useful if you've got data in one place and your criteria in another place. We'll also be looking at how you would utilize slicers. Slicers are one of my absolute favorite functions inside of Excel, and it's something that I use on just about every analysis workbook. A slicer is an easy button in Excel, and that's how I directly think about it, is that it is that easy button inside of Excel that I can just hit that will instantly give me access to the data that I'm looking for and give me access to the information that I want to analyze. And that's one of the best things about Excel, is that it's so easy and so convenient with respect to the different ways that you might want to work with your data, that you can easily slice and dice that information for you and easily be able to present it. So which is kind of cool. So that is what we are going to be looking at today. Lots of different features and functions inside of this amazing and useful application. Alrighty. So I do want to remind you that today's course is eligible for CPE credit. If you are a financial professional, and I hope you are, you can earn CPE credits for listening to today's podcast. All you have to do is go to cpetoday.com, use course code ECX2, complete a short 5-question exam. It'll be super quick and efficient. And for your troubles, you will earn a CPE credit and you will get a certificate of completion, and you'll be well on your way for maintaining your professional licensing in wherever that happens to be. So if you're interested in earning a credit for today's course, please go ahead and visit us at cpetoday.com. And use course code ECX2. Alrighty. So moving right along here. Alrighty. Now, what I want to start off with first is just kind of a brief refresher with respect to what Excel pivot tables are, what Excel tables are and how they can be used. Excel tables are useful in just about every aspect of Excel, and you can use it for a lot of different things and for a lot of different purposes. For example, you can utilize them to organize data for financial analysis. You can use them for understanding your ingredients for the shopping list, but you can use them for payroll. You can use them for sales tax. You can use them for just about everything and anything your heart desires. And it's something that I find myself using kind of all the time, for that matter. And it's something that I use for just about every type of analysis that I would want to consider. So a table, though, is the best way about thinking about it is it's a container for your data. It's very useful, but it's also very useful for other things too. If you don't plan on using just that container operation, you know, for example, if you're going to go about creating a pivot table at some point, or a chart or a graph, well, a table can be very, very useful for that. Okay. And so it's a more effective way of referencing your data, and it's not really that different compared to what you are doing currently. Alrighty. So there are seven main functions of a table that you should be aware of. Okay. So they are fabulous, for example, for easily applying formatting inside of your information. So for example, if you are looking to stylize your data very quickly, very easily, without a lot of like thought in terms of like specific options of, you know, choosing, for example, your, what colors or the, you know, you, for example, if you want to stylize the header or the total row, well, the great thing about that is that a table kind of systematically and programmatically applies all that for you. Tables are great, for example, when you have dynamic data sets and data might be coming or going. For example, if you're pulling your data in or out of Power Query from a third-party resource, maybe a REST API, maybe another database, something like that, tables are great for populating because they will easily expand or contract to support whatever amount of data you're using. They're great if you're writing formulas, and in future podcasts, we're going to be exploring what tables look like specifically in formula operations. And we touched upon this in our first one, but we're going to spend a whole section just talking about references inside of formulas using tables because it's so great. Now, today, we're going to focus on filtering and sorting our data and finding that source data for whatever we happen to be using. So these are some of the amazing features and functions with respect to what you can use your table for. Alrighty. Now, in addition to tables, like the direct operation themselves, we also have this thing called the data model. Now, data model is more advanced functionality with respect to tables, which is coming in a future podcast. But in a nutshell, a data model is a table of tables. It allows us to be able to integrate data coming from multiple different places inside of a single workbook. And with data models, what's amazing about it is it allows us to be able to report upon one thing instead of multiple things. So instead of having to reference multiple individual worksheets and create a lot of, let's say, compound formulas that join things together, we can instead turn our data into a table and then from the table convert it into a data model. And then we can report upon the whole workbook as one singular object. I know that might seem a little bit esoteric, a little bit abstract. In future podcasts, when we dive directly into data modeling, it's going to make a lot more sense. But with data modeling, we kind of treat Excel like a quasi database in some respects. And that's what's really kind of cool about it, is that it gives us the features and functions and power of a database, but in a familiar environment using Microsoft Excel. Alrighty, so in today's podcast, we are going to go ahead and start, and we're going to specifically look at the different ways that we can sort, filter, and slice and dice our data. So let's go ahead and get started here. Alrighty, and we're going to go ahead and switch over here to our first sample file. And if you purchase today's course, I do want to draw your attention to the fact that we do have some amazing sample files that you can follow along with to kind of reinforce what I'm talking about and kind of also give you a sense of the different things and functionalities that we're talking about here. So it kind of gives you, you can follow along with what I'm doing and you can learn how to do some of this yourself, which I think will be very useful for you. All right, so I want to spend our first example here just you know, kind of getting us refamiliar with how tables function and operate. And then also we're going to talk about kind of some of the basic operations that you can get with a table. Now, you might open up your Excel workbook and you might say to yourself, Steve, this looks a lot like a table to me. I can see that there are rows. I can also see that there are columns here. Is this a table? And in fact, no, it is not a table. A table is a purposeful thing that you add. It is something that you directly would add to your workbook, and you'll know you're in your table because no matter what, you would always have up here a special contextual aware menu that would say table options. Okay, so we don't see that that's there at the moment. So if we want to add a table, several different ways that you can do it, okay? From the insert menu on the upper left-hand side, right next to pivot table, you will see table as an option listed right there. So that is one direct way that you can do it. From the home tab, you can come on over here. Under the home tab right here, you'll see format as a table. That will create a table for you, okay? You can also use the computer keyboard shortcut, Control T, and that will do it for you. Whatever way you choose to add a table, it's up to you, okay? But a couple of best practices just to remind you of what they are. First and foremost, you should have no completely blank rows or columns. If you got any blank rows or columns, make sure they're removed, okay? Make sure your data is contiguous. Make sure everything's touching everything else. Because if it is, it will automatically figure out where your table starts and stops. And so that's a good reason to remove those blank columns or rows. And additionally, if you're looking to create a pivot table or a chart or graph, those completely blank columns or rows are not going to be something you want in there. Okay. And the other best practice I would tell you, always make sure you have headers. Headers make all the difference in the world for a lot of different reasons. Okay, so assuming your data is contiguous, assuming you've got headers, use whatever method you would like to create that table. Go ahead and click OK, and voila, now you have a table. And the dead giveaway for me is always this programmatic style, okay, with the alternating or banding columns or rows. And sometimes, though, a table can be blank in the sense that it's just, you know, kind of white. You know, this could still be a table. The way you always know if you have a table is you'll have that table design contextual aware menu up at the top that will indicate that you are in fact in a table. Okay. And you can always change the style as well. And if you're interested in this, some of the more basic features of tables, go ahead and check out our first podcast on this episode where we talk about the 7 major features in brief. Okay. Now, what we want to talk about in this one again is that sorting and filtering and getting a sense of what we can do with getting our data in that correct format. Okay. Now, whenever we're working with a data table, by default, you'll notice that we get these little kind of drag and drop, drop down menus that kind of appear up here in the headers. That's, again, also usually a pretty dead giveaway that you are working with data. Now, these headers, allow us to be able to sort and filter the data by a lot of different operations. We're going to get really familiar with some of the different ways that we can do that right in here. Now, I want to point out this filtering button is the same as from the data tab, this filter button right here. Whether you turn this off or on in the data tab, or if you turn it off and on in the filter button tab over here in the table design, it's the same feature and function. You don't actually have to use a table to access this functionality. You can do it just with raw data, but I will point out it's a heck of a lot faster and easier and more consistent when you do this operation inside of a table. So it's a kind of a no-brainer in terms of where and why you might choose to use this. Now, once we're in here, the operation is going to be conditional based off of the data type of that column. You know, as an example here, let's look at our category, okay? If we drop this down, you'll see sort A to Z, Z to A. And if we come over here to our standard cost, you'll see sort smallest to largest, largest to smallest. And if we had a date column in here, you'd see oldest to newest, newest to oldest. So one of the things that we can do with this is that we can choose to sort our data in basic ascending or descending order. You know, so if we go ahead and put this into ascending order here, we'll see it starts with the B's. And if we come down to the bottom, we'll see it ends with the S. No matter what, though, our total row will always stick to the bottom, which is one of the things I really like about tables. If you happen to be using totaling, it will always stay at the bottom. Okay, if we go Z to A, we can see it sorts in that way as well. So that's kind of nice in terms of easy sorting. And we can also do this numerically. So if we want to do smallest to largest, or if we had a date column here, we could do oldest to newest in as well. Now, we could also sort based off of what is in the information itself. We can also, for example, sort based off of the specific criteria that is listed in here as well. You know, so if we go ahead and we drop down into our categories, we can also pick and choose the individual items that we would like. Now, we can also do a multi-field sort. Okay, so let's say, for example, we want to put this into first and foremost our category order, putting it into ascending order. And then, for example, we also wanted to sort basically by cost as well. Well, if we try to go and select those filtering options inside of this, you know, for example, we've already put this into ascending order here on the category, and we go to sort based off of the cost, you'll notice that the sort order change. One of the things that we should be aware of with respect to filtering is that the filtering is kind of like a one stop, you know, in terms of what you can do. You can only filter in one direction on any one column at any given time. Okay. So, you can only sort based off of the data filtering option in one column at any given time. However, if we come up here to our data tab, and from our data tab, right smack dab in the middle, we've got a sort and filtering option. Okay. From that sort and filtering option, what we can do is that we can access the advanced sort capabilities inside of Excel. Okay. So let's go ahead and give this a tick here. Now, you'll notice I put this into that standard cost and sorting it in ascending order based off of the smallest to the largest. And you'll notice it picked up that first one here. Now, one of the things that we can do with this is that we can also put additional fields inside of this. So if we wanted to first, for example, sort not necessarily on cost, but let's go ahead and say based off of category A to Z, and then also add another sort option here. Let's just go ahead and say it would be the standard cost, smallest to largest. Well, this will sort first on category, and then it will sort on standard cost. And so if we wanted to, for example, we could put up to 64 levels of sorting. I don't know who the heck would ever want to have that level, but you could inside of this as well. So if you wanted to have 64 levels, you can do. Okay, so let's say, for example, we want to sort on category, and then let's go ahead and say sort on product name. We'll do that one, and let's do that one in reverse order. We can do it that way, and we'll go ahead and click OK here, and we can see that it is now sorting in that particular order. So this is a great way of being able to get whatever order you are looking for in the data that you're doing. Now, one of the big differences that people should know is that there's a difference between sorting and filtering. Sorting puts data into a specific order. Filtering will remove things from view. It will filter down, only showing the data that you are interested in. Okay, so we'll talk more about filtering here in a moment. So inside of this sort options, there are some other things that we should be aware of with respect to this. Okay. The next thing I want to talk about here is inside of the sort options is the order. Okay. So our first one is always the first executed operation. Okay. So it is going to, for example, first put this into the category, into ascending by name, then it's going to do this, and then it's going to do this. So every time that we choose to do a sort, it gets increasingly smaller in the scope of what it is operating on. And the last thing listed here would be the last operation that would occur. Okay. So that's the order that we should be aware of. Now we can adjust the level of this at any time. So for example, we want to put our cost up first, and then sort based off of those other things, we can go ahead and do that, putting it into that specific order. So we can always move these things around as needed to get whatever frequency, listing, whatever analysis that we are looking for. Okay. And if we want to get rid of something like, for example, delete a level, great. We can go ahead and do that as well. And it'll go ahead and delete that level for us. We can add additional levels as needed. Okay. Now, there also is another option inside of here that we should be aware of, which would be our case sensitive options. Okay, let's go ahead and switch over and take a look at another example here. Okay, so this is figure 24 if you're following along. Now, what we have here is a listing of our fruit. We also have a listing of quantity, and I've got a random order that I've just chose to put them in. Column D is just for our demonstration purposes. And what I want to show you is that with sorting, by default, it is case insensitive, meaning that it doesn't care if it's uppercase or lowercase. It is just going to treat all P's as P's, regardless if they're upper or lower. Okay, so with respect to this, what we can do is that we can treat these words as being case sensitive if we would like. So we can basically tell Excel, oops, sorry here, give me 1 second. Okay, we could tell Excel to treat a lowercase p as one item and an uppercase p as a separate item. We could treat them as a difference inside of this. Now to do that, we're going to come up here to the data tab, and from the data tab, we're going to go ahead and choose sort. And in this instance, we're not going to sort by the random sort order, but in case by the name of the fruit. Okay, and so let's just go ahead and put this in A to Z order as an example here, and you'll see that our lowercase a precedes the uppercase e, likewise for B and P and S, so on and so forth. Let's zoom in here specifically on our B's because we've got banana and blueberry. Now, if case sensitivity is important for you, what we would choose is in the sort options. We'll come on over here to our options menu, and we're going to choose the option case sensitive. And it looks like I already had it on, so let me just go ahead and turn this back off, and let's go ahead and put this back into our random order. And let's try that one more time so you can see the case sensitive. And let's choose to put this into fruit, and let's go ahead and enable our case sensitive option here, and we'll click OK. And in doing so, we'll see that it will now sort those lowercase before the uppercase. Let's go ahead and do that one more time, but let's go ahead and turn off our case sensitive option. Okay. And if we do that again, okay, and let's just go ahead and do our reverse as an example here. We will see that it will not sort based off of that sensitivity. Okay. So it's a way of, if sensitivity is important to us, it's a way that we can include where we can choose to sort our uppercase and lowercase differently if we choose to do so. Okay. So if that matters to you, that's something that you can choose to utilize based off of what is in the actual cell itself and the, if that letter is uppercase or lowercase. Now, we can also choose to sort based off of the cell formats. Let's go ahead and switch over here to figure 25 through 27, okay? Now, what's awesome about sorting is that it's not just limited based off of the information that the cell contains, but it can also be sorted and filtered based off of the characteristics of that particular cell as well. Okay. And what's cool about this is that the filtering options and the sorting options can be conditional in the sense that it can happen by either indirectly or directly. For example, if I directly stylize, let's go ahead and just pick a couple of examples here. Okay. And we're going to just pick a couple of random cells. Let's come on over here to our home tab and we'll go ahead and make those background colors yellow. And I directly did that, meaning I selected those cells and I directly changed the highlight background color of this. Well, we can now sort and filter on those cells as well. If we come up to our sorting and filtering options, okay, we could choose to sort by color and it's going to recognize that there is a background color here of yellow. And if we choose to sort by color yellow, it's going to go ahead and it's going to put those items on top. And so I directly did that. Now let's go ahead and do a couple other examples here. Let's go ahead and change the colors of this to red. We can do the same thing. So we can do it on background color here, and we can also do it by font color as well. So if we choose this option, we can go ahead and do it in that way as well. Likewise, if we come over here to the data tab and we go ahead and choose sort, okay, we can go ahead and choose to sort on either the cell value, which is the default option there. So let's just go ahead and put those in alpha order and we can see it goes back. Okay, we can also choose to sort based off of the cell color, and it will tell us, what cell colors are there. So it's not going to give us every color of the rainbow. We're going to see that it's going to be yellow because that's the only background color we have. We choose to put those on top or on bottom. And we can also, for example, do on product name, and we can also choose by font color as well. And we can go ahead and say, do that on red. And let's go ahead and put those to the bottom. If we click OK here, we could see that our order is nice and clean with our yellow options up top and our red font colors down at the bottom. Okay, let's go ahead and clear this. Now, what's also nice about this is that we can also do this indirectly as well. And what I mean by that is through our good old friend conditional formatting. Let me just go ahead and clear our conditional formatting rules from here by coming over to the Home tab, selecting conditional formatting, and choosing clear rules. Okay. Now, conditional formatting is fantastic because it allows us to be able to selectively apply formatting based off of the characteristics of that cell. You know, so in this particular example, let's say I wanted to find out what my most expensive items are in this list. You know, what's the most expensive stuff that we're selling? You know, humans aren't really good at picking out these numbers, especially if we've got a big old list of 46 different products. Well, this is where conditional formatting can be great. Let's come on up here and select this range of data. Okay. Conditional formatting is a discrete operation, meaning I select the cells I'd like to apply to. And we'll come on over here to conditional format and choose highlight cell rules, and let's choose greater than. And let's go ahead and say that for products that are greater than $25, let's go ahead and make those. Let's go ahead and say those should be yellowed. Okay. And so those are my values now that are over 20, which is, again, great because now my eye can immediately see those characteristics and find those values that are important to me. Now we can come up, we can do that exact operation again, and we're going to go ahead and choose sort by color, and you'll see it's picked up both the cell color and the font color. So it doesn't matter which one we choose in this situation, it will apply. So if something changes, for example, let's go ahead and say this product right here, our tuna fish, we got some great tuna coming in from Japan, and it's not actually $2. It's in fact $21. Okay, we will see. Oh, sorry. I think I said it was 25. Let's go ahead and make that 25 or 26 maybe. There we go. It always works great when you remember the characteristics of what you're trying to do. Okay, let's make that 126, and let's go ahead and make this 128. We will see that conditional formatting will pick up those new values. And so it's conditional. If it meets the conditions, it will go ahead and color those cells. You'll notice, though, as with these background colors, it didn't put it back into that order. Okay. Well, what we have to do though, once we update data or add new data, is come back over here to our data tab, click that reapply button, and then it will resort that order. For filtering and sorting does not dynamically update. So if something changes, the conditional formatting will automatically update, but it will not automatically put it into that sort sequence that we've selected. Okay. So just be aware that that is something it doesn't do. Now, this is just background color. We can also do it based off of iconography. Same with sorting and filtering as well. So in this instance, we've used some conditional formatting to provide iconography. And we can do sort by color, and we can go ahead and we can put whatever order we would like based off of the icon of that cell. So it's a way of stratifying your data. Okay, let's go ahead and put our green arrows, then our yellow arrows, then our red arrows. Okay, well, that is a multi-step. How will we do that? We'll come on over here to our data, sorting and filtering. We're going to go ahead and choose sort. Okay, and let's go ahead and add a level. And let's go ahead and choose our list price, because that is where our icon is sorted. And we're going to choose conditional formatting icon. And let's go ahead and do our yellow. And I don't need to do a third option here for the red, because by default, it's going to go ahead and do that automatically for us. It now puts it into that nice order for us. So very kind of cool in terms of being able to put this into that correct order for whatever we would like it to be. And so here is a complete example of what that would look like. Alrighty. So in addition to sorting our data, we can filter. Okay. And we've talked mostly about sorting so far. It's about putting things into that specific order of what we would like it to be. Now with filtering, we remove things that we don't want to see present for whatever we happen to be working on. So in this particular, what we do here is that we will remove things to limit the scope of whatever type of analysis that we're doing, you know? So in this particular example, we have, again, about 46 different fields. With filtering, instead of just putting it into a particular order, we're going to zero in on what we want to do. We will focus on a particular set of results of whatever we would like it to be. Okay. Now, the way we access filtering is through that filter button. That filter button will add these columns based off of what we do. Now, we already talked about the top of this being the sorting, and that's kind of like just a bonus in terms of what's provided. Okay. The filter is the primary thing down here. And with that filter, that allows us to add and remove things to and from view. Okay, and let's go ahead and take a look at all the amazing filter options that we can do with this. But let's go ahead and have our first review question for our presentation today. Okay, so our first review question, give me 1 second. Let me just go ahead and put this up. Okay, here we go. All right, here is our first review question. What is the primary purpose of sorting? Okay, is it to A, focus on a particular set of data, B, put data into a particular sequence? That sounds pretty good. Is it C, permanently change the data, or D, all of the above? And in my experience and in my opinion, I would go ahead and say it would be B here, to put data into a particular sequence. That is when I use sorting, and that's what I would recommend. So if it's important to keep everything in view, go ahead and use that sort option. If it is irrelevant, we can just go ahead and use that filter option to focus just on the data that is of particular interest to us. All righty. Let's go ahead and switch back and continue our discussion on filtering here. So if you see that drop-down arrow next to a column filter, that is usually a dead giveaway that filtering is enabled. Now, just like with sorting, we can filter based off of single columns as well. So for example here, if we wanted to filter just to a specific category, we can come on over here and we can filter on this. Now, generally with filtering, you will have lots of different options, but it will always show you a unique listing of the items in that particular column. In this way, we have, in this case, we have several different canned meats, several different canned vegetables and fruits, as well as snacks and things of this nature. However, we only see those items appearing on this list once. Okay, so it's a unique listing. Now, if we select unselect the select all button, okay, we can then discreetly choose what we would like it to be. You know, so if we just want to, for example, look at our canned fruits and vegetables, meats and cereals, boom, there we go. We can filter down just to those specific options, and it gives us that kind of flexibility. Now, we can always come back inside of here and we could choose dairy products and condiments, and we'll see those additional items pop up as well. So it will give us that kind of flexibility of zeroing in on what we're looking for. Another dead giveaway that you're working with filtering, especially when the data is filtered, is if you look over here on the left-hand side, you'll notice that we have row 1, but then a row 11, 12, 14, 15, 16, and you'll notice there are numbers that are skipping, okay? And what that just tells us is that when the numbers are blue and they're skipped, is that there are items that are hidden or filtered, more specifically, out of view. So blue row numbers, for me anyway, are a dead giveaway that that data has been filtered. If we click the filter button up top, you'll notice all that data pops back and we're basically right exactly where we were. Additionally, filtering does not change the sequence of things. So whatever sequence these things were in to begin with, they will remain in that specific sequence. Filtering just removes the whole row from view whenever possible. Now, filtering also gives us the ability to filter based off of specific characteristics, okay? We can, for example, and I talked a little bit about this before, we can sort A to Z, okay? We can also sort smallest to largest. If we had a date column in here, we could sort oldest to newest, newest to oldest. Well, filtering is also similar to that. When we're on a text field, you'll see text filters. When we are on a number field, you'll see number filters. Okay. Now these are kind of really useful for when you're trying to search and find things based off of certain characteristics. Okay, so if we go and we look at our category field here as an example, okay, we can come down here to our text filters. And what you see here are the different ways that we can filter. We can find things that exactly match a specific term or not equal. So if we want to find everything but something, that is a way that we can handle it. We can also search with beginning with, ending with. We can look if it just happens to contain. Think of, for example, if you had a listing of transactions in your general ledger and you wanted to find transactions that met certain characteristics, maybe an account code, an employee, a badge number, something like that. Well, that contains can be really useful because it'll search inside of that specific field. Likewise, does not contain, and you can even do custom filters as well. Now, also inside of here, let's go ahead and select this begins with. We can do and or operations with this too. So it gives us that kind of flexibility where we can say, hey, make sure you find things that begin with canned and end with vegetables. So we could say begin with and write the word canned in here, and we can go ahead and say and ends with, you know, fruits or vegetables or whatever other terms we choose to use. Okay. So we can get kind of that level again of specificity of what we are looking for. Now we also have wildcards as well, which is kind of cool. So we can use the question mark to represent a single character. So if I didn't know, for example, you know, what this character could be, maybe it was an N, an M or something like that, I can use a question mark and it will substitute one character in this operation. So if we click OK here, we'll see that it just substituted that one other N for that. And we can also use, instead of the question mark, we could use a asterisk, and that asterisk will say as many number of characters at the end of this. So we could say it starts with this CA and as many series of characters after that. And in this instance, notice it added another option here, candy, bringing that option to us as well. And so those custom filters are really kind of useful because it is something that gives us a very powerful level of search where we can measure in a level of ambiguity into our operations. So if we don't know exactly what we're looking for, or it's in the middle of something, at the end of something, using those begins with and ends with can be really useful as well. Now let's go ahead and take a look at date filterings, okay, with this as well. Okay. Now, one of the really cool things about this is that we can dynamically filter based off of a date. Okay. So inside of this, okay, we've got a listing of our dates listed here, and we can come over here and we can go ahead and select under our filter options. And we have a number of different ways that we can sort our dates. Okay. So we can choose a specific date, before or after a specific date, between. And then we also have these relative dynamic filters as well. So stuff that's tomorrow, today, yesterday, next week, next month, next quarter. It's important to note these are all calendar based. So if your organization, for example, is doing fiscal reporting, unfortunately, next quarter, this quarter, well, that's going to be calendar based. However, you can create a calculated column, which can be very helpful if you're looking to filter. You could, for example, create a calculated column that could be useful for determining your fiscal period. We'll cover this in terms of a next in a future course in terms of how you would convert Excel from calendar to fiscal, but mostly it would come from creating custom calculations. And custom calculations allow you to be able to create a new value based off of another value inside of a spreadsheet. Okay, so we have a very, very simple example here. Okay, where we are creating a calculated column. I'm going to show you that here in a minute, but let's just finish up on our date section here. Okay, so with these dynamic date section, okay, we could, for example, choose stuff that is today. Okay, there's a lot of data in the spreadsheet, so it takes a second to calculate. So we could see what we're seeing stuff here. And in fact, it is March 5th. If we wanted to filter on stuff for next week, well, great. We can go ahead and we can filter to next week. Likewise, we could filter down to whatever time period we would like it to be. You know, so we could even say, for example, next year even, or next year. So if we've got a long listing of fields, we can choose whatever date value we would like it to be. Okay. Now, we can also create calculated columns with this as well. Okay, so this would be useful, for example, if we were trying to create a, let's say, a filter for fiscal period. Okay, we could, for example, look and we could say, you know what, if it is after May 30th, well, that's the next fiscal year. You know, we could, for example, say if it is, let's say, July is actually quarter one for our organization for what we are doing. And the way we would do that is using logical comparisons inside of Excel. And we would use a logical function to look at a date and then make a determination and then offset it as needed to Q1, Q2, fiscal year of the current year or of next year. Okay. Here's a really simple example of how you would choose to use a date filter. Okay. So in this particular example, what we're looking at is we're looking at the current date, okay? And if the current date is equal to today, okay, or yesterday, return a Y, and if not, go ahead and return a N. So it's, again, a very, very simple function. Now, the benefit of this would be is that where we can't compare based off of calendar, because we're not on calendar, we're on a fiscal period, okay, well, we can do this through this kind of calculated value column. You know, and so it gives us a new value. And in this particular example, if we wanted to filter down to just stuff that was yesterday, okay, well, now we can do that by just using that Y. Okay, so creating calculated columns could be also very, very useful for whatever purposes that you are looking at. Okay, so if you need to create a new column, go ahead and do so, and then you can choose to filter based off of that as well. Now, we can also filter based off of our numbers, okay? So let's come on over here. Let's look at example 35 here. Okay, and we can choose to filter based off of our numbers as well. So if we come up to our column heading and choose our number filters, you'll see we have equals, not equal to, greater than, less than, all the number stuff that we would expect. So if we came over here and we selected greater than, we can go ahead and say maybe greater than $45. Okay, we'd see there's just one value listed. If we wanted to do less than or equal to, and let's just say $10 as an example, well, here's all the stuff that is less than or equal to $10 as well. Now, we can also discreetly choose what we'd like to pop up and not pop up in our data as well. By coming up here to our filter options, we have a drop-down list showing us the unique things inside of that category. Okay. Now, a quick thing I wanted to show you. So let's say, for example, I wanted to search and only pop up the stuff that had the word, the letters C inside of it. Okay. So let's go ahead and do our text filters. Let's go ahead and say it begins with the letter C. Okay. And it'll filter down to that particular listing of just our C level items. Okay, and if we come back up here and we chose something different, for example, like our baked goods and our beverages, we're going to see that it flips back just to those selections. Here's a quick tip that could be really helpful for you. Let's go ahead and select and go back to our starts with C, and let's go select some other additional items. Let's go ahead and select our baked goods and beverages. Okay. Actually, let me do this the other way around. Let's go ahead and select those items and let's come back over here and select our other items here. We can go ahead and we can append them to the data that we have selected. Now, we can also do this through search as well. So let's go ahead and clear this. Okay, and let's go ahead and search for canned as an example here. Okay, let's go ahead and add those. We can append things as well by searching. So let's go ahead and search up here for, let's just choose our, let's see what else we got in here. We can choose to go, let's say soups as an example. So we'll type in the words soup. Okay. And notice we get this special option that says add current selection to filter. If we select that option through search, we can also append items as well. Okay. So you can either discreetly select the ones that you want, or if you search, let's search for jams here as an example, we can search for it and then append it to what we have as well. And we'll get exactly the data that we are looking for. So very, very useful in terms of filtering down to the data that we would like. Okay, let's go ahead and have our next review question here. Alrighty. What is the primary purpose of filtering? Is it to focus on a particular set of results? Is it to put data into a specific order? Is it to permanently change the data, or all of the above? Well, in my opinion, I'm going to go ahead and say it is to focus onto a particular set of data. So sorting puts it into a specific sequence. Filtering will go ahead and zero in just on the data that you are looking at. Okay. So very useful in lots of different ways. And often I use sorting and I use filtering at the same time. I mean, you can do both, which is kind of very useful for the different techniques that you need. And I mean, sometimes you use one, sometimes you use both, sometimes you use neither. Okay, so in the next section that I want to take a look at here, I want to take a look at our slicers. Okay, slicers are kind of like an easy button inside of Excel. They are a great way of being able to slice and dice your data based off of whatever characteristics that you would like, but instead of having to go and drop down and select, you know, what items you would like here, okay, instead we get a series of buttons that we can use to just click a button and it will do that work for us. I really like them because it just makes filtering much easier. It you'll see here in a second once we put this up. You can just click a button rather than go through the drop-down menus, and it kind of gives you kind of a more of a dashboard-based approach. Additionally, what's also really nice about them is they're great for colleagues that are not sophisticated with Excel. You know, they might not be able to go through and sort and filter based off of the fields they want through the drop-down menus, but you know what? They almost always can click a button. Now, slicers, unlike sorting and filtering, really has to be done inside of a table. It has to be connected to a table because that's just really kind of how they function. And when you go to create your slicer, just make sure that your active cell is somewhere inside of the data. Okay, let me go ahead and do this without my active cell being in the data. I'm going to go ahead and just put my cell over here to the right. And we're going to come up here to our insert menu, and we're going to go ahead and select slicers right here on the right-hand side. You'll see slicers and filters listed. Now, if we click this, it's going to pop up. It's going to say, hey, what do you want me to connect this slicer to? Well, if you don't have your data in a table and you don't have your active cell in a data, it doesn't know what to connect. So if you get that pop up, just move your active cell somewhere inside your data. Come on back over here to insert and select slicers again. And you'll notice now that you get the correct option, okay? Now, with slicers, it is going to show you the column headers, okay? So this is another really important reason why you would want to have good header names inside of your data, because it's going to be used in this functionality as well. So you're going to choose the headers that you would want to sort your data on and filter your data on. Now, you could choose whatever you want. I'm going to point out, though, some things are better than other things. When this slicer pops up, it's going to show you a unique listing of all values inside of that specific column. So certain things are going to be good candidates and certain things are not. Category, great option, okay? Because there's only a defined list of maybe 15 or so different categories listed. Standard cost, though, that would not be a good slicer option, because it's going to give you a unique listing of every single one. And if you look here, I mean, we've got lots of different prices. Let me quickly just go ahead and show you. Let's go ahead and select category. Let's choose our standard cost. And let me just kind of show you what those would be. Okay. So here is our listing of categories, and you can see that's a decent size list. Okay. And here is our listing of costs. You know, I mean, that's just not really a good price point, or not a really good way of sorting your data. Now, what would work is maybe you create a new column, a calculated column that you use for stratifying. So products that maybe are zero to $1, $1 to $10. That's different. Just choosing a numeric column, though, or like the reorder point or the target level, that's not going to be a great option for you. Now, slicers sit on top of the data, and as such, you could put them anywhere you want. As you start to click the buttons and slice and dice, you'll notice it doesn't move. Okay. I tend to like to put them on top of my data. So I will go ahead and create my slicer and we'll go ahead and put it right here. Okay. Now we can create as many slicers as we need. If we come back over here to our insert menu and we choose slicer again, let's go ahead and add a couple of other ones here. Let's choose, for example, maybe our supplier. Okay. And let's just work with these two. Now, slicers also have their own contextual aware menu as well. Okay, when we're in a slicer, you'll notice, just like with the table tools menu, you have a special menu up top here called slicer. And from that slicer option, this is going to be where you can adjust the color. You can also adjust the number of columns that are presented as well. So for example, with our category one, I mean, we got a lot of options here. Maybe we put it into a two column layout. Okay. And all slicers do is they just filter the data down. So if I wanted to, for example, just click supplier D, boom, I just see supplier D. And if I wanted to click baked goods, I just see for supplier D, the baked goods that they offer. And I can clear my filters one by one by just clicking the clear filter button up top. So if we wanted to see our cereal providers, our dried nuts providers, our canned meat providers, if we hold down control, we can select multiple categories if we'd like. Okay, so we can see that way. So that's a great way of being able to just select, you know, and filter down just onto the items that are, again, of particular interest. Now, let's go ahead and take a look at our top and bottom rules as well. Okay, for numeric stuff, which is kind of cool, we can also... let's go ahead and add our data filtering options here. We can also choose to filter based off of where they are relative to the population. So if we come over here to our standard cost options, okay, and we go ahead and we choose our under our numeric filters, okay, you'll see top 10, above average, below average, as well as a custom. If we choose top 10, now it doesn't have to be top. We could, for example, choose our bottom as well. And it doesn't have to be 10. It could be 5. It could be 8. Okay. This will let us pick just our top 5 items. So it's a great way of immediately being able to filter down just to those items. Likewise, if we came over here and we're going to choose our number of filters, we can go ahead and choose below average. Well, here is, if we took the arithmetic mean of the population, so the average of the population, here's the stuff that is going to be below average in terms of price. Okay, so that above average and below average can be quite useful in terms of what you are sorting on and choosing how you want to filter that data. Okay, so I often use this quite often, especially when I'm doing analytics, trying to determine performance. You know, hey, what's our most expensive, least expensive? What's the most frequently purchased, least frequently purchased? It's a great way of being able to narrow down our data to exactly what we'd like it to be. Alrighty. Let's go ahead and take a look at one last example here, which is going to be our advanced filters. Alrighty, let me just go ahead and clear this data out. Alrighty. Now, sometimes you're going to want to filter your data separately from where the criteria are. Okay. So in this particular example, imagine this is on a big old spreadsheet, a listing of our employees and a listing of our positions and salaries and bonuses and things of this nature. And on a separate worksheet, I had a listing of my criteria, you know, or it's just separate from the two of them. Well, what we can do with advanced filtering is that we can have our criteria in one place and our source data in another place. And then we can connect them and either filter the data in place or we can pull that data and put it elsewhere. So let me just show you a quick example of this. So this is going to be over here under the data tab. And under the data tab, you'll see, again, our sorting and filtering options. And you got this advanced option. Okay, let me just go ahead and click this just so you can see this. And so in this, we can see we got our filter in place. We can also have a copy in another location. We have our list range. The list range is going to be where our data is located. We have our criteria range, which is where we're, you know, evaluating that criteria. We also have this unique records only. Here's a quick way, like if you had a listing of, let's say, for example, your employee last names, Okay. And let's say you just wanted to get a unique listing of those last names somewhere else. Well, there's lots of ways of removing duplicates, lots of ways of removing unneeded values. You know, I can think of two off the top of my head. You can come on over here to our remove duplicates, which is right next to the sorting and filtering. If you want to just remove them, or you could, for example, come on over here to our home and use conditional formatting, highlight cell rules, and you could use duplicate values that way. Actually, let's use department. I think that's probably a better example. So let's say we wanted to get just a unique listing of our departments. Well, we can select that list. Okay. Come on over here to click our advanced, and let's just go ahead and let's just pick this list right here. Okay. And let's say we just wanted to get a unique records of that. And let's just go ahead and copy them over to right here. Okay. So what it's going to do is it's going to look through this particular column, and it's only going to pull the unique items out, and it's going to copy them over to a separate place. Oops, I did that wrong. Let's try that one more time. You know what? Let's just copy this and put it somewhere else. That might make it a little bit easier. Okay. So let's go ahead and filter this. Come on. Man, it does not want to do this. Okay. Let's pick here. Okay. And let's go ahead and use unique records only. Okay. We can either do it in place. Okay, so it will just do those in place here, as you can see here, or we can go ahead and we can choose unique records only, and we can copy it over to maybe, for example, here, and we'll go ahead and click OK. God, let me try that one more time. It's like stuck on that specific range of data. All right, let's try this one more time. Okay. And let's go ahead and copy it to another location. And we're going to copy to column H here. Okay. We're just making sure I got it all here, and let's copy it just to this, and we'll click okay. There we go. Ah, sorry. It took me a while to get to that. But what we have here is we've filtered down to just a specific list. So that's a great way of getting, for example, duplicate data out in a non-destructive way. If you're looking to, you know, kind of just pull out the unique records for a specific column or a specific range of data inside of your set. Now, the more useful way for this would be in where we have a listing of our employees, or I'm sorry, a listing of data, and then we have a listing separately of criteria. Well, what we're going to do here is we're going to filter this list in place, and we're going to look for employee last name of Harris and that are in the accounting department. So when they're on the same line like this, this is an and. So employees with the last name of Harris and also in the accounting department. Down here, this is an or. And so we're going to say employees named Harris in the accounting department or anybody who works in the sales department. So let's go ahead and take a look at that using the advanced filters. Okay, so let's go ahead and choose our range. And ideally, your headers should always match. Let's do that right here. So employee last name and this should match perfectly in terms of what you are doing. Okay. So this header row, this header row, this header row, all of those should match ideally. And we're going to choose to filter this in place, and we'll click okay. And we see, in fact, it does do exactly what we say. Okay. There is a Harris that works in accounting. Okay. So it's exactly that. And we can see, for example, all of our salespeople are included. Let's just go ahead and take and remove the word Harris. And let's just run that one more time. Let's clear our filter options. Let's go ahead and do our advanced, and we're going to do that exact same thing again. We'll click okay. And in fact, now we get, oops, let's try that one more time. Okay. Select our range, our correct data. And let's go ahead and do that again. And in fact, you'll see here, we get all of our sales and accounting. Let's go ahead and just remove accounting, or remove sales, and let's just run that operation one more time. Okay, we'll click okay. And okay, and let's just go ahead and do this. We'll click okay, and we should just see accounting listed. Okay, A1 to D3, that looks correct. Let's say okay. Huh, okay. Well, let's do this one more time. Let's say Jones and sales, and let's just say accounting. Okay, and let's just say Smith and production. Let's try this one more time. Okay. Our list location here is A7 through D20. Yes. Okay. Our criteria range is, let's go ahead and increase this to D4. Okay. And let's just go ahead and do filter in place. And with a little luck, there we go. Thankfully, it actually worked out. So we got Jones in sales. Perfect. We got all the accounting people. Great. And then we also got Smith in production. Sorry, there's a little bit of roundabout way to get there, but that's how you would use the advanced filter capabilities. So very powerful for those who actually need it. And it's a great way of pulling data kind of out from other aspects of your workbook. All right, that does bring us to the end of our presentation here. Let's go ahead and have our last review question. What are some of the great features of slicers? They are the easy button to filtering. They are great when you need to see several views of your data. They are great when you need to filter on multiple feeds at the same time or all of the above. Okay, the correct answer here is going to be all of the above. They're great because they're an easy button. Just click it. Instantly sort and instantly filter your data to what you'd like it to be. They're great when you have lots of different characteristics and you can click the different buttons to get the different views. And they're great when you need to filter on multiple things at the same time. All right. So what did we go ahead and learn today? Well, we learned everything you could possibly need to know about sorting and filtering your data in Excel. And we also learned a little bit about slicers, calculated columns. We learned about filtering on numeric versus alpha versus dates, lots of different things. And as we continue this series, in future episodes, we're going to go ahead and take a deeper look of writing formulas or structured references using tables. We're also going to talk about using tables as data sources for other things, for example, pivot tables and charts and graphs and other things like it. And we'll also talk about what it means to relate multiple tables together to build that data model. Now, if you are a financial professional, I want to remind you that this is eligible for CPE credit. Head on over to cpetoday.com. Use course code ECX2. Again, cpetoday.com. Use course code ECX2. Take a short 5-question exam and you can earn a CPE credit for today's broadcast. So it's a great way of staying on top of your license and you can earn credits just by listening to a podcast that you might have already listened to begin with. We'd love to know what you thought about today's course. Feel free to leave us a comment below or a review wherever you happen to be listening to this broadcast. You're welcome to connect with us on social media. We're found on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, and elsewhere. Feel free to reach out and follow our content. We're putting out new stuff all the time. In upcoming podcasts that we're going to have, we're going to continue our series looking at, for example, office productivity tools, including Google Workspace, Office 365, Zoho, and others. We're going to introduce a couple of new podcasts as well, new series in around Google's tools, services, things of this nature. We're also going to take a very deep dive on pivot tables. There's so much power and functionality inside of Excel, and pivot tables is one of the most useful of those. And we're going to talk exactly about what pivot tables are and all the advanced functionality that you should be using. We're also going to take a look at identity theft, what it is, how it happens, and what you can do to keep your loved ones safe and secure. As always, we appreciate you coming, appreciate your time and attention. Thank you so much for attending our podcast today and listening. Hopefully you've learned everything you need to know about using Excel's sorting and filtering rules correctly, and you'll be able to slice and dice your data any number of ways in the future. Thank you so much for your time and attention. I very much hope to see you at a podcast soon. Take care. Best wishes. Have a great day.